I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is KSL's unrivaled.
Go the distance.
Alex Keery, the voice of the...
If you build it, they will come.
The voice of the ghost from Field of Dreams also joining us on the program. Scott Mitchell.
I love Field of Dreams.
Oh, it's a great show.
It's one of those I can watch over and over.
It's one of those that wherever you pick it up where it's at, yeah. You have to watch the rest.
I'm jealous of you that you've actually been there.
My claim to fame is I not just was there, I stole two.
Stole two bases?
No, I definitely would have been thrown out.
Head first into home?
Even by the ghost. No, I stole some corn from the Field of Dreams. Come on, there's no problem. I've got it. It's there in my house. I'm going to put it on a mantle or something. I'm not kidding. I did it, and I'm not ashamed to say it. The guy was like, I learned a lot about corn that day. It's like a whole thing. I learned a lot about baseball, a lot about myself, Scotty. Welcome on into KSL's Unrivaled. Thanks for being with us. Joining us on the program, Sean O'Connell, who is not only a connoisseur of sports movies, but he wears many, many hats, among which, of course, he had a career as an MMA fighter, did some time in the UFC. Is that how you say it, Sean? You did time in the UFC?
That's probably the right way to say it when you're low on the card like myself. If you're a main event fighter, you can say something cooler, but if you're just someone on the undercard, yeah, you served your time.
You did your time there. Also on SiriusXM, it talks about the Pac-12. Give us the station you guys are on SiriusXM so people can listen in.
It's the Pac-12 Network on channel 373. They have a conference network on SiriusXM for each of the Power 5 conferences, and I'm lucky enough to do the afternoon show with Jeff Schwartz, who is a big NFL guy, former
right.
offensive lineman at the University of Oregon. So we do the afternoon drive show here in Salt Lake. It's on 4 to 7 p.m. But right now, like everyone else, we're affected by the whole COVID thing.
Right, so sure.
It's just a one-hour podcast every day.
Hey, that's what we do, too. We do the one-hour gig. So among all the things that you guys have been talking about over the last few days, let's start with the UFC and what they did over the weekend. Your tweets that you sent out were very positive in the sense of, man, they put this thing together. They had this vision of how they're going to do it. And despite all the criticism, Dana White said, I kind of don't care. We're going to get on TV somehow, and however we can do it with no fans in there and the most minimal amount of, or the least amount of people we can get in this arena, and they were able to pull it off. Do you think, watching it, did you think, okay, yeah, they stayed within the bounds of kind of some regulations there?
For the most part, I guess they tried. There were some situations like the referees weren't wearing masks
right.
inside the cage, but why would you, I guess, if you were the referee who'd been tested, you know, six times already that week?
Right.
And then, you know, fighters obviously are real up close and personal when they're beating each other up. The commentary team, they actually put the commentary team at three different tables on, you know, kind of different sides of the octagon. But then they still had to do stand-ups on camera, and they were standing, you know, elbow to elbow. So,
right.
They don't have a social distancing camera angle
well,
yet.
Well, Joe Rogan was basically like hugging guys. It looked like, you know, giving yeah. fives out
Joe
and everything.
Rogan, Joe Rogan took the stance of like, look, I've been healthy this whole time. I've been socially isolated this whole time.
Right.
And then obviously they went down there doing these things in Jacksonville, and the UFC was testing everybody when they arrived, taking their temperature, testing them every day since. They're doing four events in 2 weeks, three events this week, and So everyone's just kind of staying in the same hotel. So they test him every day. And, yeah, he was like, I'm healthy, and the guys around me are supposed to be healthy because they're being tested. So why should I? Yeah, why should I avoid touching them?
Joe Rogan, I mean, he's not going to get sick anyways. I mean, he's just too above any of that.
Sure.
So right. Alex and I had a conversation the other day about no fans. And does that impact, because it, you know, it's a very intimate setting. I'm sure you've been in it. You know, how much impact do you think it has on the fighters when there aren't any fans in the stands? And do you think that it's a sport that can translate to, because I know, is it better on TV than it actually is live?
So, I mean, I love fights live, but you can make an easy argument that fights are actually better on TV because unobstructed views, you get great camera angles, you get better, you know, replay, you get insightful commentary from the aforementioned Joe Rogan, and then usually Daniel Cormier or right. somebody else who's, you know, a Hall of Fame caliber fighter. So, I mean, you can make an easy argument that really every sport is getting better on TV than it is live. But as far as it affecting the fighters, that is the most interesting question, because I have like three angles I approach that from. If you're a fighter who's only there for the fans and for the money, you're not really a fighter. If you're not able to perform, you know, in an empty arena or in no arena at all in the gym when it's just you and a couple of your buddies, that's when you're really a fighter. But some people do feed off the crowd. Everyone arguably feeds off the crowd. And maybe it makes the sport better when you can hear not only the punch landing, but the reaction to the punch landing and things like that. A guy in the main event fight, Justin Gaethje, put on the best performance of his entire career. And he's had a long and successful career. But he put on the cleanest, best, most dominant performance of his entire career. And maybe he did that because the crowd makes him nervous and there wasn't a crowd. So,
yeah.
So who knows, right? I mean, it affects everyone else differently, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, that was the other takeaway was you have this main event fight that everybody's looking at, and I'm going, these poor main event guys, they've got to really be made of something strong here because they're interrupting their regular training, all the regular stuff that they do with all these tests. You know, it's just everything is out of normal. Everything's out of the norm. You can't do anything, quote-unquote, normally. I would suppose that in the gym, it would feel, I mean, if these guys are, it would just feel like a massive sparring event with kind of nobody around in terms of the sound you're used to. I mean, and these guys get in his own for fighting anyway, I feel like. But going from that to the actual part of what we could learn from the UFC and what we could learn kind of as a, you know, canary in the coal mine type situation with the UFC this weekend, how do the rest of the sports kind of add up? Do they add up the same way where we go, hey, you have guys performing at this massively high level and TV's the way that we want to enjoy it anyway?
You know, I think that individual sports are the ones that are going to be able to come back easiest, quickest, and most seamlessly because made for TV with individual sports is just as good, if not better, than the actual, you know, arena experience. Things like tennis. We watch Wimbledon on TV, and it's a great product. Now, I'm sure it's lovely to go and have strawberries and cream at Wimbledon and sit there in the sun.
As long as you lift your pinky.
Yeah, you gotta.
As long as you have your pinky up, you're okay, yes.
Put me in the royal box.
I mean, golf, I have never stood in a gallery at a golf major or anything like that, but
well, you haven't lived, just so you know.
Okay, hold on, though.
No,
but see, I've gone down to not, well, I wouldn't, I've never been to a major. But I will say,
you've been to a minor.
I've been to a PGA. Major, I'm telling you, the PGA Tour, I've been on a PGA Tour, and it was kind of a miserable day. Now, it was the Phoenix Open.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not kidding. Yeah. It was the Waste Management Open. Very different from the Masters, I guess.
You're walking around having dudes shushing you and stuff. No, thank you, all right? If I'm watching the Masters on my couch, my fridge is right there. I can yell at whoever
miss
I
it.
Want to yell at.
Miss it, Noonan. Miss it. Miss it.
But here's the thing. Team sports, I think, are a different model. For me, especially basketball, and I've said this on the air before, but maybe the greatest thing in the sports viewing experience, in the sports arena viewing experience, is when you're sitting there and a basketball game is, you know, 1-point margin, 2-point margin, or whatever, and a shot goes up that might determine the game, and there's that collective hush, and then based on whether the shot goes in or out, there's the collective reaction.
Right, the explosion.
20,000 people all doing the same thing at the same time, subconsciously, unconsciously. We all hold our breath, and then we exhale it, either in dismay or in celebration, right? And that is something that's so, so, so special, and even comes through on TV about basketball specifically. So I don't know if basketball would be as good in empty arenas. Fights are great in empty arenas because you can hear the punches and kicks landing in a way that you can't when there's fans there screaming over the top of it. But basketball, I don't want to hear the sneaker squeaks and the ball hitting the floor as much as I want to hear the crowd reacting.
Well, Sean O'Connell joins us here on KSL's Unrivaled. OC, the real OC Sports is his Twitter handle. We're going to take a quick break here. And Sean, when we come back, I want to dive in a little bit to the Pac-12 side of things that you cover as well, kind of the suppositions and the opining that we are all doing right now in the world of sports when it comes to what would a season look like if. And we have a lot of that going on this week, so stay with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.